familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
When a baby is exclusively breastfed, sometimes a concern is raised that the baby may not be getting enough essential nutrients, specifically vitamin D and iron. I'm Dr. Danya Lindenberg, a pediatrician with Scripps Coastal Medical Center in Hillcrest. Today, we will be discussing important supplements to consider for your exclusively breastfed baby. This is the Boob Group, Episode 6.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
Welcome to the Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also a certified lactation consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. At the Boob Group, we're your online support group for all things related to breastfeeding. Wondering how you can become involved with our show? Visit our website at theboobgroup.com, where you can send us comments or suggestions through our contact link. You can also join the conversation on our Facebook page. You can even call the Boob Group hotline at 619-866-4775. The Boob Group is also looking for listeners to join our blogging team. If you'd like to share your current or past experiences with breastfeeding, be sure to send us an email. Today, I'm joined by three fabulous panelists in the studio. Ladies, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I am Sunny Galt. I'm actually not breastfeeding at the moment. I am 10 days away from giving birth, so I will be breastfeeding very, very shortly. I am 34 years old, a web video host and producer, but I'm also the host of our sister show, which is called Preggy Pals for all of our pregnant listeners out there. It's a good opportunity to network with other moms-to-be. And I have one other child at home, Sayer, a little boy, and this one's a little boy, too.
Hi, my name is Heidi Runge. I am 33. I'm a paralegal. I have one son, Asher, who was just turned 4 months, and then my man-child husband.
My name is Cassidy, and I'm 26. I'm a marriage and family therapist intern working at UCSD, and I have one daughter, and she is 7 months old.
Sounds familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Before we get started with today's topic, here's Wendy Wright talking about breastfeeding tips for the working mom.
Hi, Boob Group listeners. I'm Wendy Wright, an internationally board-certified lactation consultant and the owner of Lactation Navigation in Palo Alto, California. I'm here to answer some of your most common questions about returning to work as a breastfeeding mother, such as, why should I continue to breastfeed after I return to work? This is a great question and one that we get all the time. The primary reason to continue to breastfeed after returning to work is to provide the best nutrition for your baby. Also, by continuing to breastfeed after you return to work, and by that I mean pumping while you're at work and then breastfeeding while you're with your infant together, it does make it possible for you to continue to breastfeed on the weekends and evenings. It's a great way to maintain a special closeness with your baby, even when you must be apart for work or for travel. Another reason to continue breastfeeding after you return to work is to save money. Purchasing a can of formula every week to provide your infant can get very, very expensive. And by pumping your own breast milk while at work, you'll definitely see the financial impact for your family. Another nice reason to continue breastfeeding when you return to work is it does help you avoid some of the health risks associated with formula feeding, such as higher incidence of ear infections, higher incidence of respiratory infections, and in general, just an overall improved health for your infant with breast milk. And the last reason to continue that I'd just like to mention is that the American Academy of Pediatrics does recommend mothers and babies exclusively breastfeed for the first 6 months of life. In the United States, the average woman returns to work about 6 weeks after delivery of her child, and that definitely falls within the first 6 months of life. So by continuing to breastfeed after you're returning to work, you're providing the best health for you and your baby. Please remember to visit www.lactationnav.com for more great information about my business, Lactation Navigation. And be sure to listen to the Boob Group for fantastic conversations about breastfeeding and breastfeeding support.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Today on the Boob Group, we're discussing nutritional supplements for the exclusively breastfed baby. Dr. Danya Lindenberg is a pediatrician with Scripps Coastal Medical Center in Hillcrest and a mother of two with a third one on the way. Dr. Lindenberg, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. So we'll just get right into it. Dr. Lindenberg, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, which vitamin supplements or nutritional supplements are recommended for exclusively breastfed babies and at which age?
So according to recent AAP guidelines, vitamin D and iron, as we had mentioned, are the two supplements that are recommended. An updated vitamin D policy just came out in 2008, which recommended that all solely breastfed babies or babies who are receiving who are not receiving 1 liter of formula a day supplemented with vitamin D should receive 400 international units of vitamin D starting very soon after birth. This was a policy statement that came out in 2010. It actually recommends that all solely breastfed babies start receiving an iron supplement of 1 milligram per kilogram per day starting at 4 months of age until the introduction of iron-containing supplementary foods.
Ladies, did your pediatrician recommend that you supplement your baby with additional nutrients?
Yeah, you know, I'm naturally low in iron anyways, and so I think at some point with my son, my firstborn, I may have been about 6 months or so, he did suggest supplementation. But, you know, I don't know, the drops that I got, my son just really wasn't into, so it didn't work out very well. Even if, you know, I were to just kind of put it in some breast milk or what, he just still, it's like he could sense the iron, and he was totally against the iron. But, yeah, our pediatrician did recommend it.
How about you, Heidi?
Yeah, I actually just had my 4 month appointment yesterday, and he did recommend it. I partial breastfeed, so he adjusted the amount that I should supplement. I believe he cut it in half and had 200.
For vitamin D, you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was based on the fact that he does get some formula. I'm probably about 60 to 70% formula and 30 to 40% breast milk. So.
Yeah, at our 4 month 4 month. No, you know what? I think it was our 6 month checkup that actually our pediatrician recommended maybe supplementing and adding, you know, oatmeal or rice cereal that had iron in it. But it was I was confused because I had heard from, you know, other moms or other sources that, you know, rice cereal wasn't good. You know, it could be very constipating, or maybe try other ways to introduce iron. So I actually am interested in hearing more about that.
Well, I guess we can talk about the iron issue first. This new guideline, to be honest, a lot of us aren't putting four-month-olds on supplementary drops. I think that there are certain cases where most of us would. Certain conditions would predispose a baby to iron deficiency, prematurity, because a lot of the iron, actually the vast majority of iron, is accrued during the third trimester. So if a baby's born premature, I think most of us would probably put a baby on iron, and then infants of diabetic mothers and some other conditions. That being said, I think that this new guideline came about because more and more research is coming out about subtle effects of iron deficiency, not even iron deficiency anemia per se. And so breast milk is poorer, has less, I should say, iron than formula. As a lot of people know, it's more bioavailable iron. So babies absorb a greater percentage of it. But they have been seeing that there is a trend that babies who are solely breastfed, especially if it's more than 6 months, do become iron deficient. So whereas most of us don't necessarily start an iron drop at 4 months of age, the American Academy of Pediatrics does recommend starting solids sometime between 4 and 6 months of age, although another guideline says to wait till 6 months to introduce solids in solely breastfed babies. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy. What I would tell you is if you decide to introduce supplementary foods before 6 months, I really try to emphasize sources of iron that are more well-absorbed meats. The iron in meats is heme iron as opposed to non-heme iron, which is in foods that are supplemented. So your baby's really going to absorb the iron better in foods that have it naturally, like meats. It used to be people waited last till introducing meats, and now really the emphasis on is introducing them earlier. So
around what age would you say for meats? Because some of the research I've read is around 8 months.
I say 6 months, really? Right when you can do them right with other solids.
How do you recommend serving them to babies?
It depends. That's a really good question, because if you're like me and you didn't make your own baby food, the forms of meat are pretty non-palatable, I think, sometimes. If you're someone who makes your own food, you can boil chicken. Don't add a lot of an extra anything, salt. You can mix it with sweet potatoes. You can mix it with vegetables. Just puree it. You can do darker meat. The darker the meat, the more rich in iron it's going to be. So there's really no contraindication to starting those foods early. The whole thing with the cereal, I think that cereal is a very important source of iron because a lot of people don't give meats early for a various number of reasons, including just not making their own, for example. In terms of rice cereal, I think that it does tend to be constipating. Often I'll have my patients go directly to oatmeal or to even quickly move to mixed grain varieties. Sometimes I like the varieties that have probiotics in them because I find that those are less constipating sometimes. So I think that the whole thing about rice is that you want the foods your baby eats to be foods that you want them to eat for life. So there's one campaign I've seen from someone I trained with, actually, who now works at Stanford, called Whiteout, where he talks about avoiding white foods. You don't want your baby eating. There's so much refined starches. So rice cereal is often just very refined and white. So if you're going to do rice, I would say do a whole grain brown rice. It's not that rice is bad, but it's just it doesn't have a whole lot of good things except for the iron, really.
Right. I really appreciate that, because when I was deciding what I'm going to be feeding my daughter from the very beginning, you know, I wanted to be things that I wanted her to be eating for life and things that I eat because it's good for me. And, you know, with rice, it just didn't feel like the white rice. It wasn't something that I would eat on a normal day-to-day basis. And, you know, I want her to get the iron. So I appreciate that. Are there other forms besides meat? So I believe, do lentils have a lot of iron?
Yeah, beans are good. Leafy greens, although it's really hard to get enough leafy greens in a little baby. But beans, if you can puree them, lentils, egg yolks have iron. And those are safe for babies. Actually, new allergy guidelines don't really even limit much of anything, which I'm sure you'll talk about at a different boob group episode later. But yeah, I mean, those are good sources. The best are going to be foods that have it naturally. So yeah, absolutely.
If I could backtrack a little bit, maybe just talking about anemia a little bit. Like, I was anemic, I guess I found out, I think, at 28 weeks. How does that affect, would that have a negative impact, like, on my breast milk or on, like, maybe Asher, now him needing more iron?
It depends how anemic. All pregnant women, I mean, I'm always anemic too when I'm pregnant. Now I take iron too. Mm-hmm. You get diluted, basically you have more blood volume. So all women are going to drop their hemoglobin. So it depends how anemic. Mm-hmm. But if you aren't repleted or you don't take any iron, there's a potential for him to have lower iron stores when he is born, okay, which could set him up for possibly becoming iron deficient earlier. He basically depends on your iron stores until about 4 to 6 months of age. That's where the salt comes into play. Okay. He receives your stores in his, if he was born with enough, which a lot of babies are, some are, and I think that's part of the concern. He starts running out at 4 to 6 months. If he's already kind of on the low side because of your stores, mm-hmm, he could run out quicker or okay, become deficient. That being said, I think it depends on how deficient you are.
Okay.
What type of symptoms would show? Are there any in a baby that would show that they are anemic or low in iron?
I think you have to be pretty low to actually have severe symptoms. I think part of the concern is that more and more studies, or some studies at least, have shown that there's subtle cognitive deficits that may happen later in adulthood, problems with nerve myelination, kids performing lower on certain developmental scales, cognition, concentration, just more subtle things that are very hard to quantify. But in terms of actual symptoms, people compensate if it's something gradual. Like it's amazing how normal a child can look with a very low hemoglobin, mm-hmm, just from being able to sort of compensate for it.
So would you recommend in your own practice to test babies at 4 months for their hemoglobin levels? So that way, if, I don't know if that's even possible,
no,
but
it is.
So if a baby does need iron supplementation, at least you're supplementing the babies that need it, whereas supplementing them straight across the board.
I think in parents who you identify that there's a potential for low iron, for anemia.
Who would those potentials be?
Definitely moms who may have been anemic or quite anemic during pregnancy. Any baby who's less than 37 weeks of age, although a lot of times we just supplement those babies. But in parents who would rather know, absolutely, we can test. I think it's always a balance because we try to avoid unnecessary testing as well, because
sure,
parents don't, you know, there's cost, and also parents don't want their babies to be poked a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And that brings up the whole issues of how to test. You can do a hemoglobin stick, but if you're iron deficient without anemia, your hemoglobin may still be normal. So then you would need to go for further iron studies, which is a lab draw. And a lot of parents don't love the idea of a
sure,
lab draw for their 4 month old. But I think in some cases, yeah, if the risk benefit to you as a mom is toward, like if you say to me, I'd rather get tested before supplementing, I think I'm fine with that. I think that's great, because then you actually know what you're doing. You know what you're giving, as opposed to just following a guideline. And there are other sources of anemia. This particular guideline actually says that in toddlers, only 40% of anemia is due to iron deficiency, which not in my practice, I would think it's more. But that's what, in the U.S., that's what they came up with.
Okay. Terrific. Well, when we come back, we'll be discussing vitamin D supplementation for the exclusively breastfed baby. Is it really necessary? We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Okay, and we're back. Dr. Lindenberg, what is the protocol for vitamin D supplementation? You had mentioned that it was 400 IUs. Why is this recommended for exclusively breastfed babies?
Similarly to what we were talking about with iron, breast milk does not have a lot of vitamin D in it. And as more and more research comes out, vitamin D is a really hot topic right now for research. Vitamin D deficiency has been linked to many things, obviously to bone health and subtle bone bone weakening, even at slightly deficient levels, but also now to immune defects and cancers and obesity. And it seems like vitamin D is always in the news. So more and more, it's been shown that a lot of kids and later even adults are vitamin D deficient. And babies who are exclusively breastfed are at higher risk of being vitamin D deficient. So because there are so many variables in your vitamin D levels, everything from your the maternal levels of vitamin D, which get passed across the placenta, to your darkness of your skin. Less than 10% of vitamin D is actually dietary. Over 90% is what you make in your own skin. So skin color is huge. What latitude you live in, how much sun exposure you have, how direct the sunlight is. Because those variables are so hard to quantify, the AAP has come out with a guideline that babies who receive at least half maternal breast milk or solely breastfed should receive 400 international units starting soon after birth, because that dose has been shown to prevent both osteomalacia, like vitamin D deficiency, and rickets.
What exactly is rickets?
Rickets is a condition that results from vitamin D deficiency, which causes basically demineralization of bone. It causes sort of thickening at the ends of bones, widening, splaying, and basically demineralization and weakness of bones. It can cause bowing of your legs. It can be pretty serious.
The La Leche League Womenly Art of Breastfeeding says that the recent research states that if a mother actually takes 4,000 IUs of a day of vitamin D, that her milk can contain enough so that the baby won't need supplementation. Have you found that to be true?
Well, I mean, I looked into this a bit, and there's been maybe a couple studies. The one that you're referring to is a study from 2004. Studies do show that if a mother takes, these are basically mega doses of vitamin D, that yes, it can raise the level in breast milk similarly or enough in equivalent amounts to a baby taking 400 international units. The safety of that approach is not proven. I mean, those are very, very large levels of vitamin D, but it is something that should be looked at. I don't know if that's really safer though. Like for a mother to take that much of a fat-soluble vitamin compared to a baby taking 10% of that. But yeah, it is something that has been looked at a couple times.
Are there negatives to having too much vitamin D in your body?
There can be. It's a fat-soluble vitamin, so you definitely can get too much of it. There are conditions associated with excess of vitamin D, and it isn't excreted in the urine like a lot of other vitamins because it's fat soluble. So potentially, yes. In this particular study and the other one I looked at, there was no adverse effect seen, but there is the potential.
Panelists, did you end up supplementing your baby with vitamin D?
I haven't yet, but I just got the recommendation yesterday. So I do plan on looking into it and supplementing him. At least half of what I think a full breastfed baby would be.
We haven't yet, and so I think I don't think the information is really out there. And so I'm actually really appreciating hearing all this because we haven't yet. But absolutely, from this point forward, I think we're going to be. So
I'm surprised that it was just brought up to you now. Your baby's 5 months, is that right?
4 months.
4 months. Because the recommendation is to start soon after birth. So usually I'll bring it up at least by the 1 month visit.
Okay. I know the doctor had it on the handout, but I know when I asked about it at his 2 month visit, I was told, you know, that it would be addressed at the next visit.
What do you think the concern would be waiting until the baby's 6 months old, for example, not supplementing with vitamin D and waiting until they're starting to get solids and things like that? Do you think that it's possible to make up for? I know you described that you get about 10% from what you ingest. So do you think you could make up for that if they decided that they didn't want to supplement before then?
I don't think so, in that vitamin D deficiency, I think that a lot of the groups who look at it find that toddlers are also deficient. It's not that rich in foods. And to really get enough, you'd have to take a liter of vitamin D milk or a liter of formula. So I don't think like iron, like we were saying about iron, that it's like suddenly at 6 months you're getting enough vitamin D. That being said, in this latitude, in this climate, we don't see a whole lot of, I've never seen rickets, but in terms of deficiency, maybe it'll be something we test more often, which actually this guideline talks about testing pregnant women, which I know my OB hasn't tested me, but that's interesting to me. but probably in this area we see less of it because you do get sunlight. That brings us to a whole other topic about the taboo of sun, which we can get into if we have time.
No, I'd love to, actually, because, you know, especially being here in sunny California, mm-hmm. Southern California, is it necessary for our babies if we're out in the sun? I think the recommended dose of sun was like 2 hours a week or something like that.
There's various different amounts that, you know, they've said can create enough vitamin D to be sufficient. But it varies a lot, again, with latitude, how directly the sun is coming down. It's really UVB rays that are most important in creating vitamin D. And the midday sun is really the most important because if it comes in obliquely, it doesn't have the same effect as direct sunlight. But, I mean, there's all kinds of estimates. I mean, some studies have looked at, you know, is 2 hours of sun exposure per week. A lot of the estimates were sort of based on old levels of vitamin D sufficiency, whereas now they've kind of raised those. But until 6 months of age, the AAP recommends not exposing your baby to direct sunlight. So one article I read is by an endocrine society who brings into question this taboo against sunlight. If you look at the public health cost of vitamin D related disorders, if you include things that are thought to maybe be vitamin D related, like the cancers, the prostate and breast cancers, and rickets and osteomalacia, compared to the public health cost of skin cancers, it could be much, much higher. So it's possible there may be a turnaround in that it's recommended to just go in the sun a little bit too. I mean, I don't know.
But is that without sunscreen though?
Yeah, but it would be
it would be
maybe for 15 or 20 minutes before.
Because you said it was UVB instead of UVA,
right? So if right, and sunscreens block in this article they were saying that if you put on sunscreen correctly, it blocks over 95% of the sun's rays, so you really aren't making vitamin D then. But one of the things they mentioned to say, like, let's say you let your baby in for 15 minutes before they have a chance to burn that, they may make enough in that time of vitamin D. The problem is it's not quantified, and 400 international units is not dangerous. And so it's because they haven't quantified it all, they just say everybody get this amount. But really the ones at risk are going to be the dark skinned babies in northern climates in winter months especially.
Yeah, who don't ever have a chance to go outside because it's too cold.
Right.
And they're all covered up completely.
Right, they're covered. So the more body surface area exposed, the more vitamin D you're going to make.
So how are these supplements? Is it in a drop? Is it liquid form, I'm assuming? How are these given and how often?
That's a really good question because I think that's one of your questions too. They now sell a lot of just purely vitamin D drops because understandably people don't want to give things they don't need to give. You can get a multivitamin drop, which will always have the right amount of vitamin D, the 400 international units. But they now sell some forms. There's one form called D-Visol, which is easy to find at pharmacies. And that's basically comes like a dropper full. But as some people may have expressed, there's other additives that may be not desirable to certain parents. But now there's a few forms that actually come very, very concentrated. Just one drop has enough vitamin D. The risk of that is you could easily overdose. You just want to be careful to do just a drop. But there's a couple forms that I saw. One is called Just D. It's by Sunlight Vitamins, and it has no additives. It's just they have to have it in like a oil base, but that's it. Bio-D Emulsion is another one that's just vitamin D. And then the company Carlson makes some that are also just vitamin D without anything added. So
you can get these at.
I've seen the D Visol, the one that I was saying that may have some more additives. That's in a slightly larger volume. You can get that at Target and any drugstore. These other ones I've seen more online, honestly, like on their websites or Amazon has a lot of them. So I send parents there. It's great for breastfeeding moms if you do it because a lot of moms will just put one drop on their breast and then the baby just takes it because it's pretty much taste-free.
That was going to be my question, is what does it taste like? Because when I had to give my son those iron drops, I mean, he just totally was not going for it. And we did like a multivitamin thing at first, and that was fine. But when the pediatrician said, we need more iron, then I just got the iron drops. And he was like, no, 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 no. That's good to know, I guess, that this is kind of odorless, tasteless kind of thing.
In terms of those the drop forms, the right. D-Visol has a bit of a taste, but from my experience, the baby seemed to like it a lot.
Okay, good.
Iron, have you ever tasted his iron supplement?
I've smelled it.
It's very, very so metallic. Yes, my son was on iron too. There's some forms that are a little sweeter.
Okay.
I can tell you about, but
iron's, it's just not, it just doesn't taste, it doesn't. Good. It's no. a metal. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't taste good.
Okay.
Once they can do chewables later, it's a little better. But
right.
Well, terrific. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lindenberg, for all your insight into these supplements for the breastfed baby.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, Boob Group. My name is Annie, and I'm from Michigan. I just listened to your episode about partial breastfeeding, and I was so inspired by your panelist's story. I have been supplementing my daughter with formula since she was 5 days old due to a low supply, and she's now 2 months old. Listening to the moms on your show share their experiences with low milk supply and how they're still breastfeeding their babies, even at 4 months and older, just re-energized me to keep going. I knew every drop of breast milk counts, but I just felt better once the lactation consultant said those words as well. Thank you. Thank you so much. I totally appreciate your help.
Thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you'll visit our website, theboobgroup.com, and our Facebook page to share your questions and comments about supplements for your breastfed baby. If you have any questions about today's show or the topics we discussed, call our Boob Group hotline at 619-866-4775, and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. If you have a breastfeeding topic you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear it. Please just visit our website, theboobgroup.com, and send us an email through our contact link. Coming up next week, we'll be discussing tips to entertaining your toddler while breastfeeding your newborn. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.